Good morning, everyone. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's always good to be here with you all. I hope you didn't eat too much turkey for breakfast this morning and all those things that are making us sleepy, right? Anyway, nice to be here with you all. There's several announcements listed in the bulletin. I won't read them all to you this morning, but I do want to highlight a couple of them. A few of the meetings that are happening this week. The worship committee is going to be meeting in the morning at 11. Stewardship will meet Tuesday, 6:30. And also, there's going to be another Safe Sanctuaries training session that's going to be Thursday night of this week in Brown Chapel at 7 o'clock. David's going to be doing that. He's done another one this morning. I think several of you were able to take advantage of it. If you're planning on volunteering, helping out with the children and youth here at the church, we have to participate in this Safe Sanctuaries training. There's a blurb about it in the bulletin as well. But as you are able, if you've not been able to attend yet, please attend this one. This will be the last session that's offered this year. So please attend that as you are able. Also, there's going to be a craft show art fair thing at in the fellowship hall put on by the preschool again this year. That's going to happen Thursday and Friday of this coming week from 8:30 in the morning until 1:30 p.m. So please come out and support that. Madeline, do you have anything to add with that? Baked goods, too. All right. I need to make sure the office hours are changed to coordinate with that. Also, this coming Saturday morning at 10 a.m., we're going to have the Hanging of the Green. So we're going to decorate the church up for the Christmas season, for Advent and everything. And we hope that you can come and help us out there. It'll be from about 10 to noon this Saturday morning. Few other announcements that are listed there that you'll hear more about later on in the service. But for now, I invite you to stand. Yes, William. Trustees meeting just immediately after church. Just up front here, William. Be good.
The Friendship Circle tomorrow night is going to be putting the college packets together, and we're still accepting any contributions that you might like to put in it, but we are going to get those. We have 8 students, so if you want, you can put it in the plate today, but just please mark it Friendship Circle. Thanks.
Friendship Circle's putting together those care packages for our college students and preacher. preachers, right?
Any extras, but there usually are none.
If you can help donate either money or goodies, please see Sue Lane and mark your offering Friendship Circle, please. Well, let's stand as we sing together our opening hymn number 715, Rejoice, the Lord is King. And I invite you to remain standing as we turn in the back of our hymn books to the Affirmations of Faith, to number 881, as we read together the Apostles' Creed. 881. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated, and I think there is a special treat in store for us. Thanks for getting that song stuck in my head for the rest of this week. I got to admit, I was a little concerned when I heard there was a song about beans that was going to be sung. The middle schooler in me came out for a moment, but if our children would like to join us down front for our children's time.
My goodness, coming down with a foot in a cast, what has happened to you, my dear?
I tripped in my kitchen.
You tripped in your kitchen, and did you break it or just sprain it or just... fractured your what plate? Oh, growth plate, I'm sorry. Well, welcome, cast and all. It's good to have you all here. We don't have many of our little ones today, so maybe you can answer these questions. Today is the last Sunday of the church year. Without peeking at the top of your bulletin, what is that Sunday called? Well, if I put this on, would that help any? Christ the King Sunday. That's right. It is the last Sunday of the church year, even though our calendar tells us we have 5 more Sundays before New Year's on the calendar that we use at home and schools and shopping and everything else. We will begin the celebration of preparation next week with Advent, getting ready for Christmas. But today, why do you suppose we call it Christ the King Sunday? It's telling us what? Who is king? Christ is king. We've celebrated, if we look back on the year, we've celebrated Christ's birth, we've celebrated his death and resurrection, and the coming of the Holy Spirit, and now as the church year ends, we remember that indeed Christ is Lord of all, as we just sang in our hymn, and that we want to remember that Christ is our king. Nobody that sits in a palace or throne on earth today holds that place for us, but Christ. So let's stand and share in a prayer. Gracious and holy God, we thank you for the reminders that come to us annually as we celebrate in your church and as we think today, more so than any other day, that Christ indeed is our King. Help us to take that in and live that out in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you like a crown? We have our bread tin offering. So, Elliot, if you'll take one, and Corey, Mitchell, why don't you go down the middle?
To continue in our mission vein, and the bread tin, of course, is part of that. This month is going to Heifer International. Next Sunday, I wanted to tell you about a special offering that we'll have. There's 6 special offerings in the United Methodist Church that we have every year, and this is the last one of the year. And next Sunday will be United Methodist Student Sunday special offering. So come prepared with checkbook or cash to give to that. In part, that money provides scholarships for students at Methodist colleges. And I myself, a mere 40 years ago, was a recipient of a United Methodist scholarship for 4 years at a United Methodist college. So anyway, I believe in it wholeheartedly. And then next month's bread tin, continuing along the idea of education, next month's bread tin will go to the United Methodist Black College Fund. There are 11 historically black colleges and universities that are under the auspices of the United Methodist Church. Most of these are in the southeastern and south central jurisdictions. The closest one to us is Bennett College in Greensboro. There's Claflin University in South Carolina, Clark Atlanta University in Atlanta, and Meharry Medical College in Tennessee. So these are all doing wonderful work. These are all colleges that are United Methodist institutions. They serve about 16,000 students, almost all of whom need some financial aid. The goal for 2012 was $10,500,000, which is divided equally among the 11 colleges, but so far the receipts have been $5,845,000. So next month we've got our work cut out for us because we have to make up that difference. Not really. But anyway, whatever we do will help. These are also a part of the apportionment, so some of our apportionment money also goes to the Black College Fund for the United Methodist Church. Then also I have in my hand today little tags that are part of the Jones School Christmas wish lists. This is all I've gotten done so far, which is the red tags, which have the toys on them. So if you want to get a head start and want to get a tag from me today, please do. We don't have the tree yet to hang them on, but I at least have these. They've given us 20 children. So we're going to try to do toys, clothes, and also shoes. So that would be 60 different things that we can do, as well as boxes of food to send home with them during the 2 weeks when they are not getting their lunches and breakfasts at school. So if you want to do this after church, I'll have these. I do need you to remember to sign where you've taken one so I know who's isn't here, because our deadline is going to be December 9th, so we're really pressed for time because they would like everything by December 10th. So if you want to get a head start, do this. Thank you.
Thank you, Madeline. Well, before our scripture lessons are read today, I invite you to join with me in our prayer for illumination as printed in our bulletins. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, help us to hear the call of Christ the King and to follow in his service, for he reigns forever with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, one glory. Amen.
Our epistle lesson this morning comes from Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And on his account, all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. The Word of God, thanks be to God.
Thank you.
always. Thank you for the wonderful music. Well, as our scripture lesson this day comes to us from John chapter 18, verses 33 through 38. Sally Ann was speaking of earlier to the kids. We've moved through so much of the life of Jesus in the course of this last year. And here in our gospel lesson, we come upon Jesus and Pontius Pilate. Hear now the word of the Lord. And Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I'm not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I'm a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Well, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Some people, my father, for instance, hate to travel. I'm sure many of you have traveled a little bit during this last week with the Thanksgiving season upon us. And I know many of you are still traveling today who aren't here. But I love to travel, especially when it involves going away to a foreign country. It's not that I don't like it here. I mean, nothing makes you appreciate a place, nothing makes you appreciate home like going to someplace else, you know? But I love to go to those different and wonderful places and countries elsewhere in the world that could be just so nice from time to time. Yet, as much as I like to travel, there is a lady I read about who was written about in a New York Times article. Her name is Cecile Bouchard, and she is more adept at traveling than anyone I've ever heard of. Every day, she awakens in one country, eats breakfast and lunch in a different country, and then goes to sleep in yet another country than the one she ate breakfast and lunch in. Cecile is able to traverse the borders of countries so easily because, well, her house was built on the border of Canada and America. And so there between Quebec and Maine lies her house. You see, the diplomats over in England in 1842 settled upon where it was that line was to be, and Cecile's house was already there previous to all of that. And so Cecile's bedroom is in the U.S., but the dining room and the kitchen and the fridge and all that is in Canada. And then, so each day as she goes about walking around through her house, she, you know, traverses that line between the U.S. and Canada. How curious that Cecile's a citizen of one country who spends most of her time in another country, all the while staying in the same place. Somehow it feels familiar, doesn't it? We, as Christians, are also citizens of two worlds, of two kingdoms. In our gospel lesson this morning, we hear a tale of those two kingdoms as they begin to collide. In John's story of Jesus before Pilate, God and Caesar bump into one another, pinning Jesus in the chasm between those two very different kingdoms. And somehow, the life and destiny of the very world hang there in the balance between those arms of Jesus that would stretch out so far and so wide, pulling those two kingdoms together. "My kingdom is not from this world," Jesus tells Pilate. Doubtless many of the people who encountered Jesus in the kingdoms of this world probably suspected as much. I mean, in the course of reading about these events, Jesus raised the dead, he healed the sick, and he was always teaching and showing the ways of some other distant, foreign, and wonderful kingdom. Think with me for a moment about all the times in Jesus' teachings that he mentions the kingdom of heaven. What comes to mind? Just think about it. The kingdom of heaven. Your mind might go to one of the parables. It's one of the most common ways that Jesus introduced a parable. What was it that he would say? He would say, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who went away on a journey. The kingdom of heaven is like a woman who searched for a lost coin. The kingdom of heaven is like." It's one of the most common ways that Jesus taught about anything. It was always this notion of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus, in teaching his followers how to pray, the Lord's Prayer that we all learned as children, that we all say each Sunday, says what? "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Encountering those who challenged Jesus and accused him of being in league with the devil, Jesus said what? "A kingdom divided against itself can't stand." This idea of kingdom just seems to go through all the pages of Scripture. Just as we read a few weeks ago, when Jesus was talking about letting the little children come to me, he says, "Let the little children come to me and do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of heaven belongs." I think the one that really we should think about most this day is the one from the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew chapter 6. And there's a song that we all probably know that's set to this in the King Jimmy language, right? You know, the "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia." A slightly different and I think maybe even more on target translation of the Greek might be something like this: of "Set your minds on God's kingdom and his justice before everything else." Set your minds on God's kingdom and on his justice before everything else. So I ask you this morning, is God's kingdom on your mind before everything else? Is God's kingdom on your mind? Is God's justice on your mind before everything? Is God on your mind before everything else? These are hard questions for us to wrestle with, aren't they? Especially if, like me, you're honest with yourselves. I mean, God's kingdom is so often not the first thing on my mind. The first thing on my mind is often worry. The first thing on my mind is often concern. The first thing on my mind is often something as simple as my calendar and what do I have to do today. You know, the first thing on my mind is not nearly enough the kingdom of heaven. The first thing on my mind is not nearly enough the justice of God. I imagine I'm not alone in all this. Set your minds on God's kingdom and his justice before everything else. Peter Story was the bishop of the Methodist Church in South Africa. During the tenure of his ministry there, he was one of the strongest white voices against the terrible systems of apartheid in that country that just ripped it apart for the better part of a century. And he served as a professor at Duke while I was there, and I was just so privileged to sit at his feet for a while and listen to the stories that he would tell. Stories of he and Desmond Tutu, like, being shot at. Stories of all sorts of things like that. This guy's experience of focusing on the kingdom of God and on God's justice is just one of the most compelling things there is. And he preached at Lake Junaluska not too long ago. And He really called us as a church and as a country to task on how comfortable we've become in following Jesus here in America. We've just gotten so comfortable. Jesus is this nice guy who cuddles little lambs, you know, and takes care of all of us. But it's also this same guy who serves as our king and who calls us into his service. Peter's story says this. He says, seeking the kingdom of God must take first place. It must be our supreme allegiance. There can be no other. The followers of Jesus in every age and on every continent must be kingdom people, bearers of the kingdom dream. God refuses to change places with anything or anyone. Let God be God. But this means that the church must be the church. Jesus brought into being an entirely new, radically different community, offering people a citizenship transcending the frontiers of nations and contrasting powerfully with the norms around it. The church is not simply another institution in society, nor is it an extension of the traditions of any nation. The church must be different from, and often over, against, and in contradiction to the ways of all nations. That alternative identity must be cherished and guarded as the most important characteristic of the church. The richest gift the church can give the world is to be different from it. It must be a constant irritant that the world doesn't want but cannot do without. I think that's wonderful. I think it's fantastic what it is that he's saying there. Calling us to task, reminding us that it's our duty, our call, to be different. To be like members of that foreign kingdom where the ways are so different and contrary to everything else around it. Calling us to task to keep God's kingdom as the front and foremost thing in our minds. Set your minds on God's kingdom and his justice before everything else. What might our church look like if we did that? What might your life look like if you did that? If you had as that first thought each morning when you woke up, what can I do for God's kingdom this day? What can God do in me, in spite of me, for his kingdom today? Wouldn't that change how we drive down the road? Wouldn't that change how we interact with the people we work with and that we see in the grocery store, for instance? Wouldn't that change so much of the way that we are? I know one thing for sure. If God's kingdom and his justice was at the forefront of our minds when we woke up every morning, our world would be otherworldly. I love to travel, as I was saying. For me, I'm a big foodie, okay? As you can probably tell, I might maybe should emphasize that word big sometimes more than others. But I love foreign foods. I love just the different flavors of it all. I love just the difference of traveling abroad. I don't know if you like that or not, but I just love it. That's one of the things that I relish over everything else, is that diversity and that difference, because I see that difference as a gift, as something totally other. And I love to look at structures that are built hundreds of years ago, somewhere far away from here. I love to learn just a little bit of a new language and find some new thing about how to speak. I love to experience, if only for a little tiny bit, what life is like in a foreign country. It changes me somehow. Each time I go abroad, each time I go somewhere new and different, it changes me somehow. I cross that border back to my home a different person than I was when I left. I love that moment of arriving finally back in the U.S. in the airport and taking out the passport and showing it to the Homeland Security person, you know, and showing them that shiny new stamp I got from where I was. And I feel somehow changed by my experience and by what I've learned. It's my hope that one day that we, as citizens of two kingdoms, as citizens of heaven and of this place, it's my hope that one day they might need to station some of those Homeland Security folks here at the doors of our church, because our culture of following Jesus, of going after the essence that is serving him, it's my hope that one day they might have to put somebody there to check our passports here. Set your minds on God's kingdom and on his justice above everything else. Amen. Our hymn is number 157. I invite you to stand as we sing together verses 1, 3, and 5. Just verses 1, 3, and 5 of Jesus Shall Reign, number 157. Please be seated. I'll draw your attention to the names and concerns on our prayer list in the bulletin. Especially draw your attention this day to the family. Donnie McGeary, his brother, is not doing well at all. He was not expected to make it through the night. And so if you would remember Donnie's brother this day, and all that Donnie's family and all that they're going through in this very difficult time. Have a couple additions as well. If you would add the name of Colleen Prevett. Am I saying that right, Nancy? Colleen Prevett. Nancy's sister-in-law, who has cancer and is no longer receiving any treatment for it, and so she's had a really rough go out of if you would remember her this day. And also prayers for Tony Tweed and Brandon as they are traveling all the way from California. So we'll remember your family this day, Gary. Also a blessing of our for our guest musician, Lynn. Thank you for being here today, and for all the beautiful music that we have in worship. Are there other names to lift up? Well, if not, let us join our hearts together in prayer. Let us pray. Lord, our King, Lord, our Deliverer, Lord, our Life, we come before you this day with hearts that are heavy. We lift up to you those from our midst who are sick. We lift up to you, O Lord, those this day who grieve. We lift up this day to you, O Lord, ourselves and our own shortcomings and faults. Touch each of these situations, O Lord, as only you can. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we confess that we have sinned against you, not only by the things that we've done, but by the things that we failed to do. We failed to keep you and your kingdom as our first thought. O Lord, help us that we might focus aright and anew on your Son and on his rule in our lives. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, we give you thanks for all that you've given us, for all that you've seen us through, for all that you are to us in times of want and in times of plenty, in times of sickness and health. Throughout it all, O Lord, you have been unchanging. We offer you our thanks. We offer you our praise. We offer you our service and our very lives. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And hear us, O Lord, as we lift up to you in silence those deepest concerns of our hearts. And as your Son taught us, so now we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. A brief word as we prepare to receive our offering. If you were unable to fill out a commitment card with your pledge or estimate of giving, there are some blank ones available on the inside aisle of each pew, and please take one and fill it out as you were able. Let us offer now from all that God has so graciously given us.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, accept these our gifts to you. Take these gifts of our time, of our lives, of our money, and use them, O Lord, that your kingdom might be brought nearer. For we offer it in Christ's name. Amen. And I invite you to remain standing for our final hymn. It's number 580, Lead On, O King Eternal.